Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We sing the hymn, "More and More Like Jesus I Would Ever Be." Friend, if that be the case, we will develop the same attitudes as the Lord personified. Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul continued to show the disposition of Christ regarding humility and obedience. But should we not have this same attitude toward all things? We learn of his attitude from the one source that God has provided, and that is the Scriptures. The first passage that comes to my mind as we study Christ's attitude toward worldliness is that which is found in John chapter 1, verse 29, that tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. His mission was not primarily to condemn, although there is condemnation to those who reject him. He came to seek and to save the lost. Paul wrote in Galatians 1 and verse 4 that he came to deliver us from this present evil world. Obviously, our Lord's attitude toward the world was that from which man must be delivered. God sent his only begotten Son to give his life. 1 John 4 and verse 9, "In this was the love of God manifested toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Now just here, let us draw upon an illustration to clarify. Consider our relationship with Christ is that of a marriage. For two to become married, there must be the change of relationship to each other, a change of relationship with parents and all others. When we become Christians, we are wedded to Christ. Our relationship changes toward deity, toward the church, and toward the world round about us. Christ taught the Christian to have a special relationship toward the world, and this denotes his attitude toward the world. Now, the word world does not always have the same meaning in Scripture. It depends upon its context. Sometimes it refers to our planet Earth, Acts 17:24, "God made the world and all things therein." It may have reference to the material things of the world. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world? There is nothing inherently evil, however, about material things. But sometimes world means the people of the world. God so loved the world in John 3 and verse 16. But worldliness has reference to the sinful characteristics of this world. Satan is the prince of the world, John 14:30. It is the sphere of evil and rebellion against God. It is what causes one to be lost and separated from God. It refers to the sinful actions and influences and manners of sin and spiritual corruption so prominent in the world. It is this last area where we consider the Lord's attitude toward worldliness. According to 2 Corinthians 6, we are to be separate from the world. Now, this does not mean that we leave this planet, nor cease the use of material things, or deny all contact with the people of the world. It means that we are to separate ourselves from all rebellion against God, from all vice, the ways of Satan, the immoralities and impurities of this life, the works of the flesh, such as are denoted in Galatians chapter 5. John wrote, "Love not the world." That is an apostolic admonition. We are to keep ourselves unsoiled and unspotted from the evil of this world. It is here that Christianity jars so hard against so much that is in our society. We are to separate and to insulate ourselves from the lying and fornication, drinking and dancing and smoking, profanity, dishonesty, immodesty, lust and revelry, an abuse that is so evident in the world. People can and do sin in such vicious, violent, defiant ways, even to the killing of the unborn, homosexuality and pornography, adulterous marriages, and on it goes. Such is the worldliness that our Lord deplores. The church, however, consists of the called out, They've been called out of the darkness and translated into the kingdom, Colossians 1 and verse 13. We're to be a people of the day, not the darkness of sin. A peculiar and distinctive people, Titus 2:12. A people not conformed to this world, Romans 12:1. The love of the world will choke the word out of our lives. Poor Demas forsook Paul and his noble work because he loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4:10. And John writes, 1 John 5 and verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now such is not a statement of self-righteousness, but is simply one that shows our distinct relationship to God. Now regarding sin, some attempt to excuse themselves by crying, well, everybody's doing it. Well, first, dear friend, let's acknowledge that is not so. Only those who go their own way rather than God's way are committing sin. It may seem that most are doing it, but what of that? That makes nothing right just because most are doing it. Exodus 23 and verse 2 teaches, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You see, there are two ways that are open to us. The broad way that leads to destruction, and the straight and narrow way that leads to life, Matthew chapter 7. We must make the choice, regardless of what anyone else does, or if what they may do or not do. We must choose the right way. Now, many of us want the blessings of God rather than the wages of sin. And for this reason, we must be careful what we sow, because that's what we're going to reap. James tells us in James 4 and verse 4, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. The Christian lives with restraint, not indulgence. He is self-controlled, being submissive to the will of the Lord. He will deny ungodliness and worldly lust, rather than permitting uncontrolled satisfaction of every desire. For you see, he is a new creature by virtue of being in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, he sets his affections on things above, Colossians 3 and verse 2. The Lord's attitude toward worldliness is that we separate, that we prevent, that we insulate ourselves, resisting the devil, so that he will flee from us, James 4:7. And not only are we to separate and to insulate, we also have the obligation to educate the world. The world here refers to the people of this planet, so they will separate themselves from the evil of the world. Jesus came to be the light of the world, a world so steeped in the darkness of sin. Matthew 5 and verse 14 teaches that we are to be a light in the world. And we do this as we reflect the brilliance and the beauty and the purity and the perfectness of Christ, realizing, of course, that we can never do so with perfection. We were once lost, but now we are saved in Christ where salvation is. Therefore, we are to be like Christ, doing as he did, teaching what he taught, walking in his steps. And someone has coined the good phrase, we have been saved to save. Now this presents to us our primary mission regarding this world. We reach out to those who are yet lost in sin, and we try to teach them the Lord's way of forgiveness and redemption. Their hearts and their minds must be instructed and educated in the doctrine of Christ, so that they also may have God. Our warfare, you see, is that between good versus evil, righteousness against unrighteousness. It is our duty before God to condemn the sinfulness of this world and to arouse the lost to an understanding of their condemned spiritual condition and to show them God's way of salvation. Now, this involves the teaching of the will of the Lord regarding speech and manners and habits and conduct, regarding the operation of the home, the church, our worship, determining where we go and what we do, what to endorse and support, and what to oppose and resist. Only through the knowledge and the faith in the Word of God can this education be accomplished. But the seriousness of the matter is quite evident when we realize that there is no other way that is pleasing to our Lord but the way of the Word. It is not inaccurate, friend, to think that the church is, in terms of being soul-winning fraternities. We are brothers and sisters in the family of God, with a holy mission to bring the lost to Christ, keep the saved faithful, and recover those who may fall by the wayside. Because of the evil of the world is a deadly foe to the child of God, and yea, to the whole world, we recognize the deadliness of being overcome by the world. But because of Jesus Christ, we can overcome the world. We must separate ourselves from the evil of the world. We must insulate ourselves as best we can from the fiery darts of the evil one. And we must educate those around us to the joy and the victory of living and dying in Christ. Jesus overcame the world. He said in John 16 and verse 33, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And through him we can also overcome. In 1 John 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It has been rightly announced that Christian people are in the world, but not of the world. We are people of the world in one sense, but we're also to be separated from the world. We live on the earth, but we're not partakers of the evil that characterizes the sinful world. We are among those whom the Lord loves, but are not aligned nor will allow ourselves to be molded by the world. Our victory, friend, will ultimately be so complete that we are more than conquerors, Romans 8 and verse 37. There is nothing that we cannot handle if we remain loyal to God, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. We can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4 and verse 13. And for this reason we are admonished to not be weary in well-doing. Indeed, we shall reap the eternal harvest if we do not faint, Galatians 6 and verse 9. But let us understand, there is no deliverance from the world until we are forgiven of our sins. And this forgiveness is possible by the blood of Christ when we reach His blood by our obedience to the gospel. For you see, Romans 6, 3 and 4 teaches that when we're baptized into His death. And this is where His blood was shed, John 19, verse 34. It is then that we're justified by His blood, Romans 5 and verse 9. We enlist in His army to fight the good fight, and we do so with the assurance that our ultimate goal of heaven is before us, and to all them that love His appearing. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.